Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again. It's been a couple weeks since we were here. Last week we were in South Dakota, and the week before that we were camping. So it feels like it's been a little bit. It's good to be with you. We worship together. And happy Father's Day to each of the fathers here this morning. And Father's Day, in my mind, is all about honoring our fathers and at the same time encouraging fathers who are right in the middle of raising a family. They give us encouragement to carry on. And it's a time that we recognize the important role that fathers have. So I was thinking about the message for this morning. I think I'm going to pause on the series that I was going through of what does God want, and I'd like to share a Father's Day message this morning, and a couple thoughts were going through my mind preparing for this, and my mind kept going back to one word that I was thinking, and the word is example. And I think, thinking about Father's Day, the example of a father and how powerful it is to have something given as an example. You know, you can tell somebody something, and that's helpful, but when you have somebody who shows you and demonstrates, I think that goes a lot further. It's powerful to have that visual demonstration of how to do something. And we can learn so much from the examples that we can see. That's the title of the message this morning, Learning from Examples. And I think we could connect this idea of examples with fathers. And with it being Father's Day, thinking of the importance and value of a father's example. So to those of us who are fathers, what kind of example are we giving to our children? I'd like to think about this question. At the same time, I want to give honor to the fathers who have gone before us and have given us a good example. I think there's both parts in a day like today. And maybe, depending on our story and our experience, Father's Day might mean different things to us. We might see the day differently. And I realize that for some, it's a reminder of past hurt and the example that they saw and their father was lacking. And I feel for those people. And just being in Cherry Creek last week, it was a stark reminder of seeing some of that. And there are many people in our world who just don't have good examples in their parents and their fathers. But at the same time, I think for some reason we're good at picking out the negatives and thinking of things that our father should have done or maybe should have done different. But I would like us to focus on the good examples that we have seen, to look at the good. Because none of us are perfect, and we have shortcomings, and sometimes the example given to us wasn't the greatest, but let's focus on the good examples that we have. And as I was studying, there was a song that came to my mind that we sing different times, the song Faith of Our Fathers. And I remember singing the song different times, just going back to our ancestors and the challenges, the struggles that they went through, the suffering. And I found it interesting. I was doing some research on this song, and I found it's actually a Catholic song, surprisingly. The Catholic author, and he was writing about Catholic martyrs during Henry VIII and Queen Elizabeth, Protestant and Catholic rivalry there. But I think our people have always connected with this song because that's in our history as well. It's in most of our songbooks, and we can see examples in our history of sacrifice and of suffering And we've connected with the song, and we've claimed it. And I think it can be a source of inspiration for us to read those stories in our past of examples. The power of examples, seeing what others have done, and even if it's just reading them, I think that's helpful. And I should add, even if you have a different background, you know, I'm speaking to us as Mennonites, and maybe you have a different background, I think there's always good examples that we can look back to and we can be encouraged by. That's something that song, Faith of Our Fathers, brings out. So this morning for a passage, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to read several verses from Hebrews 12, thinking about this idea of learning from examples. I believe this passage fits well. Learning from examples. Look at the background of this chapter. Hebrews 12, right before, is Hebrews 11. And we know Hebrews 11 as the faith chapter. And it gives different stories of people who lived out their faith and did a lot of difficult things, suffered, and they did something worthy of note. And I would say they gave a good example. There's a lot of examples that are listed out in Hebrews 11. And I'd like to read verses 1 to 3 from Hebrews 12 with this backdrop in mind of Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, going into chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And I think I'll stop there. But he opens this chapter with a reference to a cloud of witnesses. We are compassed or surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And I could be wrong, but I see this as those people in chapter 11. The people that he just mentioned, demonstrating faith, giving an example of faith. And then he says, seeing then we are surrounded by these witnesses. And, you know, a witness is someone who is looking on. So those who have gone before us and left a good example for us, they're now looking on. And I would say as well that I don't think this is limited to just these people in Hebrews 11, but I think it includes the others who have given us examples, both in the past and in the present. And I have this idea in my mind of passing the baton. And that's part of a relay race. So a relay race is basically a team race. You have several people on the same team, and you have a baton that you have to pass from one person to the other. Each person only runs a section of the race. And when you get to the end of your section, you hand off this baton to the next person. And then they take it from there, and they keep running. And I think about these people who have gone before us. They have run faithfully, and they have handed off the responsibility to those after them. And now they're observing. They're looking on as we take part in our turn. And it's our turn right now. We are running the race. How are we running? So as we think about Father's Day, let's remember to look back and to honor our fathers who have run well, left a good example, those who have come before us, and maybe it's not our earthly father. Maybe it's other people who have left that example for us. Maybe if it's even people that we've only read about. But I think there's that part of looking back, and there's also the here and now. For us, we're in the race right now. And the passage goes on to give us some instructions. We see, first of all, we need to lay aside weight and sin that hinders us, that holds us back. And there's things that keep us from our goal. And we need to be willing to lay those aside as we run our race with patience. And I think that's the main focus of this passage, running the race, running with patience or endurance. And that's the main focus that I see. We need to lay aside the weights because that hinders us from our running. And also, we look to Jesus, like it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are times when it gets hard, we become wearied and faint. He talks about verse 3, becoming wearied and faint. And it's during those times we need to remember those who have gone before. Remember this cloud of witnesses that we have, and keep our eyes on Jesus, who is our ultimate example. And it gives a little bit of description of the example that Jesus gave. It talks about the endurance that he gave, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and enduring contradiction or hostility from sinners. So there's endurance that Jesus demonstrated. That's the example that Jesus gave to us. And when we consider and keep in mind this example that Jesus gave, it can give us strength. Because I'm sure we can identify with that weariness and faintness that we feel in life. Because life is hard, and it's always something that we need to do. Sometimes we feel we don't have the strength to keep going in this race. But we have this call to consider Jesus and to remember the cloud of witnesses that are looking on, who have given us an example. And at the same time, we need to get rid of the weights and the sin that holds us back. So I think this is not just for fathers. I think we can apply this to any role that we might be in this morning. But what examples do we have to look to for strength, for where we're at, the weariness that we might be facing? So I think Father's Day, another big part of Father's Day is encouragement for fathers. Those of us who are fathers, because I think we all need that encouragement at times. We feel that weariness, so I want to do that this morning. I just have three reminders for us as fathers for encouragement. First of all, let's embrace the responsibility. Because we have been given, as fathers, we've been given a responsibility for our children. The role of a father is needed in the world, and when it's missing, you can tell. There were studies that have been done that show what's been called the good father effect. And it's amazing that they would even refer to it that way. A good father effect. That basically they can connect positive outcomes in children based on how involved their father was in their life. There's a quote from the study that I found. It says, fathers who were involved in caregiving and play and who reacted with warmth and greater sensitivity to a child who expressed emotions were significantly more likely to have children with better emotional balance from infancy to adolescence. And they call that the good father effect. Being involved, and I would say just embracing the role of a father, the responsibility. Fathers who are involved make a difference, because our children need us. They're depending on us to run this race well and to give them an example. There's one story that stands out in my mind. Just this last week, we were in Cherry Creek, and I saw a young girl. Her name was Kellen, and she was a special needs child. And her parents did not really want the extra responsibility of a special needs child. And so oftentimes they would just send her out with her sister, and her sister was responsible for taking care of this special needs child. And it was very sad to see that the parents just didn't want to do what it took. And I know that's an extreme example, but it does happen. And I had to think for us, you know, I don't think any of us are quite there, but what about the little things that our children might ask for or need that we ignore or push them aside, things that they might want to do with us or even just show us? They want our attention. They want to communicate something to us, and we just push it to the side. And I'm convicted as well. There's shortcomings that I have, and I'm sure we're all aware of our shortcomings, and we want to do better. We know we're not perfect. I just want to encourage us to stay involved in the lives of our children. Let's recognize and embrace the responsibility that we have, and make sure we can have that good father effect of being involved with our children. It takes work and it takes sacrifice, but it's part of that race that we're in, our calling as fathers. So secondly, focus on character. So there isn't a manual on how to be a good dad, and maybe there is somewhere. I should say there, I know there's books written about it, and there's resources that we can go to, but sometimes it feels like we're just placed into this role and we just don't know what to do. And I heard somebody say that when they were young, they knew how to raise children and they knew the right answers, but then when they had children, they forgot, and it left them. But now that their children are grown, it's finally coming back to them. And it's one of those things that we realize when you're in the middle of it, you don't always know what to do. So how do we know what to do? And I remember looking through some genealogy notes the one time. I was looking through some family history, and there was somebody who had a resource about ancestry and different families from ages ago. And he had notes written in about different families, and it was interesting reading through notes of some families, and the one note stood out to me, and he wrote about a certain family. It was a short, simple note. He said, "This was a strong family," and I saw that, and I had to wonder, what does it take to be known as a strong family? And I wonder what stood out about that particular family that they had that written about them. This was a strong family. Would that be written about your family or about my family? A strong family doesn't happen by accident. It takes work. And as we think about what we need to do, you know, we have some instructions that are given. My mind goes to Ephesians, where it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't stir them up to anger. It's specifically directed toward fathers. But I think a bigger factor is what kind of person you are. And I'm not thinking about personality, like how extroverted you are or how well you can give speeches or anything like that, but character. And when you think about character, there's a lot written about character in the Bible. We might have different routines, we might have different practices in our families, And that's fine. There's a lot of different ways to do things. But what really counts is the character that we demonstrate through that. Do we demonstrate humility and generosity and patience? You know, you can go through the fruits of the Spirit. Do we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our setting, whatever that might be, our personality? And I think it begins with the willingness to sacrifice. And we see that coming from the example of Jesus. We see how he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Jesus was willing to sacrifice for the good of others. And am I willing to sacrifice my desires for the sake of my children? What are the weights that I need to lay aside? So focus on character. And finally, be an example. So examples go both ways. I started by encouraging us to look at examples that we can see, and we need that. We need to be able to see faith that is lived out. But I think we also need to be faithful in being a good example to those observing us. And we've heard the phrase, more is caught than taught. And we know that's true. We can teach our children with our words and we can tell them different things, but if our example doesn't line up, it's not going to go as far. And not that it doesn't do anything, our children still hear what we say, but I think our example is more powerful than our words. And I'm reminded of a quote by an early church writer, Justin Martyr. He said one time, "We don't speak great things, we live them." And when we can live out the things that we speak, it's a powerful testimony. And it's an example that's going to draw other people in, I think including our children. So fathers, remember that your life is an example to your family. And what kind of example are we leaving? Let's draw inspiration from the stories of those who have gone before us. And ultimately, we want to look to Jesus, like it says here, for our goal. Laying aside all that might hinder us, let's focus on the author and finisher of our faith. May God give us strength, and may God have mercy, thinking about the responsibility that we have. So to each father here, God bless you, and let's not grow weary. But let's look to Jesus, and let's remember as well the examples that we have been shown, and remember to be that example to our children. And I'd like to close with a song that I think speaks to this. And it says, "May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footsteps that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey." What a challenge. Therefore, since we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for the example that you have given to us. And we come before you this morning, recognizing that we need help in this responsibility that you've given to us, no matter where we're at. The Father's here, we realize the weight of what you have given to us, and I pray that we can learn from our examples that we can see, that we can learn from your example, and God, help us to be faithful. As we run this race, we ask for endurance, that we would not grow weary in this race of life. Would you guide us and keep us? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and could we have a closing song?